Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody. It seems strange after a week for us to go that long without seeing one another, but the Lord is faithful. And I'm going to step out in faith and weakness this morning, but I know the Lord is able to help us and encourage us. I've been encouraged this morning. Think the words that we've sung and the songs that we've sung have just all been all about hope and the future and the fact that the Lord's in control. Of course, here we are about to launch another year, and we live, as we well know, in an uncertain world. I'm glad the Lord has given us so many certainties. But praise God, you know, we've just come through a very contentious election. And some people are happy and some people are sad. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen? We live in an uncertain world as far as worldly events are concerned. I guess that I've had so many thoughts that they're just going to go, they've gone all over the place. And I'm just praying the Lord will guide my thoughts so that they make some sense and they come together. But we know that in a changing world, well, what now would be a good title? What now? Here we are at a crossroads, in a sense, in our own society. We see how, one section of our population is angry and wants to pull us in this direction. Another one wants to pull us in this one. And, you know, where are we headed? What's going on? I am so thankful that in the midst of all of this, that we have the Lord. But what are we told to expect in this world? Yeah, tribulation, we're told to expect trouble. I mean, in the last days, terrible times will come, Paul told Timothy. Evil men will wax worse or grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do we not see that? So I'll tell you one thing that as we launch into another year, that I am not expecting or not pinning my hopes on, at the very least, is that things will get better. We know the course of this world. And, you know, as we spoke recently on, kingdom thinking, I believe with all my heart God's people need as never before to be tuned in to what God is saying and what His purpose is. This world has a purpose. Now, I realize that there is a dark power that rules over the majority of mankind and rules over a kingdom that is attached to this world. And most people are blinded and imprisoned within that kingdom. And we know where that's headed. But yet God has allowed it to be this way. He has a purpose to gather out a people. These are things we've said many times, but it seems like it's a good time to refresh our memory about a lot of this. God has absolutely designed this present world as a place to gather a family, to gather a kingdom, to build a kingdom, to gather people who are literally born of His life. Isn't that amazing? To actually have God's life instead of Adam's, ultimately. That's where this is all headed. And I don't care what purpose Satan has or conceives in his own heart and mind, God's purpose will prevail. Thank God. And I want to be a part of that. And I don't want to be so invested in any circumstance in this world that I forget the reality that no matter what happens in this world, He's on the throne. He reigns. His purpose is unfolding, and it is as certain as it's the only thing that is certain. Because I don't know. I pray that if we need to know something, that the Lord will let us know. In the meantime, what we do know is what we heard last Sunday. Basically, to stay tuned, to abide in Him, to keep our relationship with Him fresh, so that He is always able to speak to us and keep us focused and able to see the world through His eyes and His purpose that absolutely is in our lives. I'll tell you, if you're His child, He's got a tremendous purpose for you this coming year. There are things that have never happened in your life and mine that he's going to absolutely engineer. Man, I want to be a part of that. I want to be aware of that. I want to be asking him. I want to be saying, thank you, Lord, in spite of the way it has to happen sometimes. But you know, we see in a broad sense the purpose. And Lord, guide my thoughts so I don't go off in too many rabbit trails here. But we have seen a pattern throughout history of how God does what he's doing. He allows populations in different times in history to come forth, and then he works with those hearts. He reaches out in every kind of way that he can reach out. And what we see is the majority of human beings hardening their hearts, resisting it, and resisting it to the point that they have no more capacity to hear. We see it in Noah's day. And we see how the time came, as we said these things many times, that the time came when men's hearts had only evil continually. God says, I will not always strive with man. You want to know what this world is about? That was a pretty good picture. There was a period of time that God had absolutely set on his calendar. The world did not know that there was a clock ticking. But Noah did. And he walked with the Lord, and his heart was still open, and God could actually speak to him. And so while we see the broad mass of humanity headed towards destruction, we see God being faithful to his people and making a perfect provision for them to come through all of that experience and wind up on the other side in a good place. God is faithful. Didn't the Lord say it's going to be like that in the future, that was a picture of where we're headed? We see that pattern over and over again. We see it in a small scale in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that society had reached such a place of corruption that they were willing to molest angels. That was all they cared about. Two men have come. Hey, let's go. Let's get at them. They were beyond hope, beyond reach. I'll tell you, that's the scary part of not hearing God's voice. Because mankind reaches a point where he can't hear it anymore. But here was a man whose life really didn't count for a lot, but he believed in God, and he didn't go along with what they were doing. God sent angels in there to get him out. Praise God! Is God going to be faithful to his people, to everyone who opens their heart and believes in and trusts in him and sets their heart in his direction? We see mankind diverging on two different paths. But that same pattern happened in the nation of Israel. We see a history in which most of the people of Israel were unbelievers at heart. I don't care what, I mean, there were times of blessing, times when they did all kinds of stuff outwardly, but their hearts were hard, their hearts were blind to God's voice. But yet God always kept a remnant, didn't he? You remember how bad things got in Elijah's day when he said, I'm the only one, kill me, Lord. Wouldn't that be something to come to that place where if you're looking around at circumstances, that's how it feels? Do you suppose it might get that way at some point? We need to be so ready that we can hear God's voice and remember that just as he said to Elijah, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. This was in the northern kingdom where nobody hardly ever served. No king ever served the Lord there. After the nation split, it was a bad place to be. Judgment was coming upon that nation, but God had preserved a faithful remnant. And we see that coming forward in Jesus' time. The clock was ticking. If it had ever ticked, it was ticking. Because Jesus came with a message. He was the one the prophets had told about. He was the one Moses had predicted. There he was, the Savior, the fulfillment of every purpose for which Israel had ever been established. And his voice was reaching out. What an astounding thing it is that he could talk about Capernaum, where he began his miracles, and actually say, Capernaum, you should have, I'm paraphrasing, you should have listened. God was coming to you in love and mercy. It's going to be worse for you than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll tell you, people are responsible for the light they have, aren't they? Praise God. But God did raise up a people. There was a time allotted for Israel's history. And in that end time, I mean, there was a clock ticking. As I say, in every age, there's always been that time when God knows when the end is coming. His people don't always know exactly, but they're called upon to walk through that time and to be ready. And the disciples were warned about all the terrible things that were going to happen and the judgment that was going to fall. One thing you don't find out exactly in the pages of Scripture, it comes from other history, is that when the time came for the Roman armies to surround Jerusalem and that terrible, awful judgment to happen, the Christians weren't there. Do you know why? God had miraculously spoken to them and said, hey, it's time to leave. Do you suppose that God's going to make provision for His people all the way down to the end? I do. Thank God. But you know, God's people had to live through that. They had to be willing to serve God even when things really went badly sideways, when they started being persecuted, when some of them began to be killed. Here was God setting something in motion and absolutely bringing them down to the end and said, I'm reaching out to my people, but you've got the people of Israel are going on two different paths. Praise God. I'll tell you what, you remember what Peter said. I mean, we remember the message of Peter and how he spoke and gave them, and they said, what are we supposed to do? And he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't stop there, did he? He went on and said many other things. But one of the things he said was to save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Now, isn't that interesting? When you think about our prospects of life in this world, Peter did not say, believe in Jesus and we can turn this thing around. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't offer any other alternative, any other hope for the result of God's judgment clock, but you listen to the message and God will rescue you out of this. You can go, you can be on a different path. The nation is absolutely set on a course, and nothing is going to change that. But God has a message of love and mercy that can change your destiny. Thank God. I'll tell you, we need to realize that destiny is sealed. And something was started. When Christ came into the world, there was something started. And we are living in a present age. This is a time period when God has determined to accomplish a certain purpose. It's being worked out and nothing can stop it. Thank God. But there was something that happened. There was an era. There was a time frame that started, as it were, a clock. When Jesus went to the cross, when He rose from the dead, when He ascended to a throne, something happened. And Peter talked about the last days. How many of you know the last day started then?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.